And the show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And we have music and more on the show today. Later on, we'll be talking with Angie Chase of the group Bells in Motion. It's a handbell ensemble based in Springfield. They're having a CD premiere party this Saturday in Springfield. We'll hear some samples from that new CD called Bronze Images, which with some very nice performances there. But first on the show, a conversation about a group that we talked about once in the spring, just after they got themselves organized first time around, Soul Miners Children's Theater Company of Champaign-Urbana. And they are about to launch their second term, and they're looking for both students and some teachers. So we'll talk about that with Helen Katz and one of her new colleagues with the theater company in just a few minutes here on Live and Local. A favorite orchestral medley of mine that we have in our collection here. It's called Kid Stuff, an arrangement by Richard Heyman of in approximately this order, although I lost track somewhere along the way. The children's marching song, March of the Siamese Children from The King and I, The Mickey Mouse March, All Around the Mulberry Bush, Mary Had Little Lamb, London Bridge, and Alouette, just in case you were having trouble naming some of those tunes. We were trying to do that, actually, as we listened here. Arthur Fiedler conducted the Boston Pops Orchestra in that performance here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. My guests on this portion of the show are Helen Katz and Bernice Dallas. Helen is one of the two co-founders, along with her daughter, Heidi Baker, of the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company of Champaign-Urbana, and they started it just this past February. We had Helen on the show. Did Heidi join you at that time?
No,
just you. When they did, I don't really mean just you. I mean no slight intent whatsoever.
Merely me.
Merely you. You were the only one.
Yes.
On the other side of the studio here. When you guys did Horton Hatches the Egg, was that a musical rendition?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
And now I gather that turned out to be sufficiently successful that you decided you were going to have a second term, and that term starts very soon. And you emailed me that you're not only seeking participants in the program, but also some additional folks to help teach the kids.
Yeah, we're looking for actually one more teacher. We may have it, but there's scheduling things that we have to sort out, and we don't know for sure if she can do it. So it's one of the teachers we had before who wants to come back, but she has a new job, so we don't know. So we think we have one opening, so we're still scouting for people who are professional theater people who like to work with children.
And I'll bet you have, there's never a shortage, no, there's always a shortage of volunteers.
Sometimes.
But first of all, before we even get into that, let's assume that most of our listeners missed that show, which is actually a reasonable likelihood.
Right.
So give us an idea of what's the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company and why that name, Soul Miners. It's Soul Miners.
Oh, I see. I brought the right thing. All right.
You don't have it memorized?
No, I should, actually. It's not very long. It comes from a quote of Baha'u'llah, founder of the Baha'i faith. My daughter and I are both Baha'is. And the interfaith emphasis of this comes from the principles of the Baha'i faith, which are that all religions come from God. And so this particular quote, it says, "Regard man as a mine rich in gems of inestimable value. Education can alone cause it to reveal its treasures and enable mankind to benefit therefrom." So we went with the idea of soul miners. Actually, that's the name of a song by Red Grammer. I don't know if you know him as a singer, but anyway, he's a wonderful children's singer. And he wrote a song based on the same quote, and he called it Soul Miners. And the idea is that this is the kind of education we're talking about, the kind that helps to draw out from the children what they have. You know, they're gems of inestimable value. And so that's the philosophy of the education, is that we're there to use theater and interfaith virtues and values classes to help them become the best that they can be.
So it's not, if people are concerned about sending their kids to a religious theater program, it's not really that.
No, it's not that at all. We teach basic values that every religion has, you know, being humble, being honest, being persistent. And that was all in the first Horton Hatches an Egg presentation, and they learned all of those values, and no religion can claim those. So, no, it's not a religion doctrine at all.
Bernice, you, I see a note here that your son, Josh, was in the first term.
Yes, he was actually Horton.
Horton. Wow, he was the title character. I was going to
yes,
say the star. He was the title character.
Yes, he was. He was good. He was, you know, he learned the value of being part of an ensemble. You know, he was a title character, but his portion depended on the other people, the other, you know, participants in the play. So it wasn't like he was the star, because there was no star in it. And we teach them that, you know, everybody has equal part. Everybody has an equal opportunity to do, you know, their part in the play.
You don't have a story if you don't have everybody, and everybody has to support everybody else.
Yes, absolutely.
So I gather that he enjoyed the experience, and you must have enjoyed seeing him work and help out with the classes enough that you decided, I want to get involved a little more deeply. Or Helen decided she wanted to get you involved more deeply.
Say Heidi.
Or both.
Yeah.
Heidi thought this one.
Oh, Heidi was.
Yeah. We knew we needed someone else to help us, you know.
Right. And he did. He did enjoy it after quite a bit. But, you know, it's kind of, these are the things I want him to take forward. You know, I want him to say he participated in a play where it was just not about theater. It was about something greater than him. You know, it was about values that he can take forward with him. So,
the other thing you can talk about that I gather was kind of unusual, I didn't know that, but we were told by some of the parents that it was, is that this concept, which we have borrowed, so to speak, from the New York group that we have linked on our website. There's a New York group that started doing this about 10 or 11 years ago. And
Children's Theater Company of New York City.
Yeah, with this concept of encompassing both interfaith values and theater. But at any rate, they make sure the parents are involved, and she explained to us how to do that. And so we basically said to the parents, well, every parent has to volunteer 2 Saturdays during this term in order to help us out. Not only did people volunteer for 2, but they were just there all the time. A lot of the parents, and Bernice was one of them, was just helping so much. So, and one of the parents told us that she'd never had anything that her son did that really seemed to want her involvement that way, and she loved it. So I don't know if you want to talk about that for a second a little bit about as a parent.
Well, as a parent, it's a commitment. You know, we ask our children to be committed to the play, so we also have to be committed to do our volunteer, our service time also. So that just shows that, you know, not only do you have to commit, but we have parents have to commit to, you know, the whole idea also. So it was a challenge, but you schedule your life accordingly. You know, your child is committed from 1 to 4, and anything you do has to, you know, go around that time.
This is 1 to 4?
On Saturdays.
On Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Actually, 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
By the time we did the...
Right.
Yeah.
By the time to do...
Well, we have the virtues class, and then there's a couple hours with breaks of theater arts and rehearsals and all of that, and that's pretty active, so that goes pretty fast. And then we gather everybody back together and have a kind of appreciation time. I don't know what, we haven't got an official name for it, but we get in a circle and everybody can say if they really appreciated something that someone did that day or something that happened that day. And we'd share quotes from different religious and other sources that relate to that day's virtue. So that's how we did it before. It's going to be similar. The format will probably change a little bit, but that was the basic idea. So that all takes us to about 5 o'clock.
What? How is the virtues class presented?
Ah, good you asked that, because my daughter just gave me the rundown. She's in charge of that part, and this is what she's planning. Oh, gosh, should I speak for her in this? If I remember correctly.
You have to. She's not here.
I know, I have to. Okay, my memory is not that great. Because we want to have two age groups this time, and the older age group can get more deeply into discussion probably than the younger one, and two separate plays. She's going to pick out virtues from each play. She's planning to find eight in each one. And then she wants each class to spend 2 weeks, not 1 week, but 2 weeks in each virtue, so that 1 week they can focus on discussion and storytelling and that kind of thing. Another week we'll have more crafts. And she had this laid out more carefully, but I forget all the details now. The first week she's going to focus on helping the kids understand that we're really talking about religions from all over the world, because we weren't clear enough about that in the first time we did it. That these quotes and all these virtues that we're talking about come from Buddhism, come from Hinduism, come from Judaism, come from Islam, you know, Christianity, Baha'i, et cetera. Because not all kids even know that all these religions exist. And so we want to really focus on that the first time. So that's the basic structure that I learned last night.
And you said the virtues that are represented in the plays, there's going to be two of them this term?
Yeah. You got that right there. You want to do that?
No.
On the flyer.
The virtues.
Well, the plays are. The one is Ugly Duckling.
Oh, yeah. The two plays that we're going to be doing this season will be The Ugly Duckling, and that's for the younger children. And then Henry Box Brown, that's for the older children. And The Ugly Duckling, you know what kind of story that is. But Henry Box Brown tells of the slave, a slave escaping to freedom. So.
And the division of ages you anticipate will be probably
the
what?
Age for the Ugly Duckling is 5 to 8, and the age for the Henry Box Brown is 9 to 12.
How many kids do you expect to be involved in the plays, and how many were involved in the Horton play?
First one was 11. This time we would like to get up to 14 kids in each class. Whether we will or not, I don't know, but that's our cap. So, and we would need probably at least 10 in each class in order to do the play properly. So that's what we're going for.
And if in order for people to register, what do they have to do?
They can go to our website.
Yes, you can go to our website, and that's soulminers.org, or you can call 217-607-0462 or 217-417-3781.
And I'll just repeat one of those numbers. It's hard enough to remember part of them. 217-607-0462.
Yes.
Or just remember the web address, because those phone numbers are on there also.
Right.
It's soulminers.org. And that's just as it sounds, soulminers.org. Building character on stage is your catchphrase. Did you have any resistance to the virtues classes from the kids the first time around? I mean, I know Bernice said your son eventually enjoyed it.
No, there was no resistance, because we present them in a way that they can understand them. You know, being humble. There was a story that went along with being humble. And so then we told the story, and then they had to pick out the virtue in the story, and then there was an activity that went along with that. So it was called all-encompassing, you know. So it was like, oh, okay, I know what humble is. Now I know that action that goes along with humble, and then how it relates to play. You know, Horton was humble in there. And at the end, Maisie was humble at the end when she let Horton adopt her hatchling. So, you know, it was a place. There was parts in the play where they can relate to that virtue.
And I have the Ugly Duckling story pretty well in mind. I saw the musical version of that called Honk this summer.
Mm-hmm. I just learned about that. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I saw it. Now I'm going to forget which theater company it was. Actors Rural Theater Company, I think, in Tuscola.
Oh, yeah. That's where I heard about it the other night.
Yeah, they did it. Okay. They did a nice job. They did a nice job with it. And, of course, there's many virtues that are difficult for kids to grasp in that story, where because it's so easy to be to accept the peer pressure that, well, so-and-so looks this way or so-and-so acts this way, and so they're not like everybody else in my group, so we're going to ostracize these people, mm-hmm. or what it really comes down to is they're not like me, so.
Right.
And that's, I imagine that there's something about that to the Baha'i faith to a degree too, that emphasizing that so many, that all of these, well, as you said, all religions come from God.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
You know, it's right. not that everybody's competing or everybody's, one of the group is bad or mm-hmm. so on and
right. all. I mean, in Christianity, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. So, I mean, that's a virtue right there, you know. So in The Ugly Duckling, we will try to teach that, how you love this person who is different from you, but is just like you.
The reason we picked those two plays together was because they complement each other. They both are different ways of talking about unity and inclusiveness and the negatives of prejudice and so on. So they're very different ways, obviously, but they both do it. So the Henry Box Brown script gets into a lot of history of slavery, a lot of information about the slavery times and what was going on before it gets up to the point where he actually makes the escape.
What's the box part of Box Brown? Is it a nickname or is it just part of his name?
No, he actually boxes himself in a box and ships himself to freedom.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, with the help of abolitionists up north that were helping.
Right, yeah. Right. So that became part of his lexicon. It became part of his history.
So are you looking for a particular type of kid to be in this program, or just really anybody at all who's
anybody.
Interested?
Anybody. Yeah. That's why we don't have auditions.
Right. No. Yeah. No. Anybody can, and you know, come out and see if they like it. We give them a week trial period to see if they like it, if they want to commit to it. After that week over, they sign a letter of commitment, and you know, they're in the play.
And the parents are along for the ride.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're not fearful about when you said earlier that, you know, parents who've had kids maybe involved in theatrical productions before, they're usually not encouraged to participate. I wonder if there isn't, I'm assuming that there is some considerable fear on the part of theater folks of the famous stage mom or dad. So you haven't found that's happened so far?
I know, but I can't imagine how it could, since we don't even have auditions. We just...
Oh, it could happen anyway.
It probably could. No, it didn't happen the first time. If it happened, we would just consult and talk and deal with it, because, you know, our goal is to not just talk about the virtues, but actually act them out in our relationships with each other in the group.
Right, absolutely. You know, and the parents have no control over who gets what part. You know, it was never my suggestion, my Joshua deserves to be Horton. You know, it was never, you know, the teachers went in and they consulted and they came up with who should get what part. And it was fine with all the parents because, you know, that is part of the virtue we're learning. So
the parents need to learn some virtues too.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Probably.
It's a whole family, you know, activity. You know, not just the children learn the virtues, but the parents also have to learn the virtues in order, you know, that's how we teach our children, by, you know, acting, you know, by doing. So.
Just because it's my kid doesn't mean that my kid is better than other kids.
No, oh no.
It's an interesting question. It hadn't even occurred to me that might happen, but I suppose you never know.
Well, sure it does. It happens. Yeah. It happens
on
theater. It happens in sports. You know, how many times have, I mean, I'm just thinking when I was involved in Little League, how many times the coach's kid was the pitcher?
Yeah.
Or, you know, the director's child was the star.
Right.
You know, it happens all the time. And at some level, you can't tell me that those parents aren't promoting their own kids at the expense of other kids. And it's, you know, they're not really thinking, I think, in the way that you guys are suggesting that the children need to learn to think.
Right. I think anybody that really felt that way probably wouldn't get involved. Or if that feeling started sneaking up, it wouldn't have a chance to flower because of the type of atmosphere that we're setting and the type of principles that we're doing it on. And
they might be able to recognize it.
It's really true that we're not treating any child as you're the star, whether they have a large part nobody really has a small part because everybody's on stage so much of the time, whether they're doing a bunch of little parts or they're doing a lot of motion, you know, activity stuff without words, because some of the kids were, a couple of kids were very young, and they just, that wasn't their best thing, was speaking lines, and so they had a lot of stuff to do. And the directors, Katie Baldwin and Sarah Heyer, were the teachers the first time. Katie, people might know from Station Theater.
Yeah, she's been on the show a few times, actually, with different station productions.
Yeah, she's been really involved in that.
Absolutely excellent. They were drawing out what the children can do, you know, and deciding, okay, this is what you will do. And no one felt slighted, and no one felt, you know, like, oh, my God, she has more lines, or, you know, this line is this. And, you know, it was all just, I think they did an excellent job with assigning the parts and everything.
They did. And Katie's going to be back with us for sure. Sarah is the one with a new job in the, we're not sure about her schedule, but it looks like a good possibility right now.
So if you are looking for somebody to help teach, what are you looking for there?
We're looking for someone who loves children, loves to teach children, and has got enough theater experience, you know, to all-around theater experience, including musical, and who can make that commitment to be there every Saturday.
And someone who is in with the interfaith virtues that we're teaching, you know. So, you know, you just can't be into theater and into children, but you have to also buy into the virtues that we're teaching.
Right. So if you buy into the guy who's talking about burning the Quran,
no.
That's not...
No.
You might as well not sign up for this.
No.
That's really sad.
We don't do that at all. I mean, because that's one element of discrimination. I mean, that's not what we're promoting at all.
And not only discrimination, but an unwillingness to understand.
Right, you know.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of what you guys are working
absolutely.
On here. Well, we're going to say goodbye. And thanks for coming on the show. And want to refer people again to soulminers.org. We're talking here with Helen Katz and Bernice Dallas of the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company of Champaign-Urbana. When do the classes start?
September 18th.
So what's that? Two Saturdays from now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you can go to the website, get all the information on how you can sign up, and same phone numbers you can find there if somebody's interested in helping with the classes?
Yes.
Yeah, we have a contact page, too. We just discovered last night a technical problem with the contact page. But I think it's working.
Yeah, everything should be working
now. We hope.
So, yeah.
And if not, you can go on there and find the phone numbers so you don't have to commit them to memory just now. Right. And the classes, the term ends when?
February.
February 20th, I think, was the last show.
Okay, so that's culminating in those performances in February.
Yeah, yes. Two weekends of shows.
So maybe we'll talk to you right before that and
get
people to come out to
that
the show.
That would be great.
Yeah, maybe we could even have some of the kids come on.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And do a little bit of it. I mean, if it's a small enough group, we could have them all come in and do a little part of it. Obviously, there's no television here. Well, we do have a television station, but we're not yet televising the program, though we've certainly talked about it.
No, I think we could do that. I think we just have enough advance notice for arranged schedules and stuff, and we can do it.
Yep.
Sounds great.
Well, you know how to find me. And by the way, if anybody else wants to find me with your calendar item or with your organization that you think might be good for us to know about and cover on this program, you can contact me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's willcalendar@illinois.edu. And in fact, I'll read some items that we have on our calendar in just a moment. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from these business partners: Jarman Center of Tuscola, Family Video Movie Club of Springfield, Fertilizer Dealer Supply of Philo. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you for your support. We also say thanks for support today from the second annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, September 23rd, 24th, and 25th, in and around downtown Urbana. The festival features over 70 artists performing blues, jazz, old-time, Cajun, bluegrass, and Irish music with storytelling and more. Schedules and information are at cufolkandroots.org. Soul Miners Children's Theater Company, Helen and Bernice, thanks very much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here, before we start hearing some handbell music, we're going to talk with Angie Chase of Bells in Motion about their new CD and their CD party coming up this Saturday in Springfield. Here are some events you can go see and hear in our listening area. Joni Dreyer and Dave Cooper are playing acoustic music at Senator's Pub in Champaign this evening starting at 7:30. There's the weekly live Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. The Andrew Dixon Group plays jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight, also at 7 o'clock. Caleb Cook is at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana tonight at 10 o'clock. It's a presentation of Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf in a narrated wind quintet version tomorrow, a free program at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute in the atrium lobby there on Urbana at the main Carl Clinic campus on University Avenue. That's at noon tomorrow. Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield is presenting Lie, Cheat, and Genuflect Thursday, Friday, and Saturday starting at 6, and then Sunday at brunch time beginning at around noon. Brian Chobin plays jazz at the Normal Amphitheater in Normal Thursday night at 6 o'clock. University of Illinois Jazz Combo, led by Dana Hall, is at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 7. And Dan Hubbard is at Baxter's American Grill in Bloomington Normal tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And we'll look ahead to some of the weekend's events on tomorrow's show. Coming up, Angie Chase with Bells in Motion. Thank you. That was a favorite song of mine, Georgia on My Mind, Hoagy Carmichael's tune. And it comes from a brand new CD by the Springfield-based group Bells in Motion, a handbell ensemble. The disc is called Bronze Images. Director is Michael J. Lamb. And on the phone with me is Angela Chase, who is one of the ringers and also a member of their publicity machine. Pouring out the press releases and so on. And the press release that I got is talking about their upcoming CD release party, which is happening this Saturday in the club room of the Hoagland Center for the Arts on South 6th Street in Springfield from 6 to 10. It's free, and there's various events going on. There's drinks and hors d'oeuvres and so on, but also live performances by the ensemble of some selections from the CD. Thanks for sending me the information here, Angie, and the CD, and for joining me on the show.
You are most welcome.
This is not the first CD, because I know I've got a holiday one.
That's correct.
Yours.
It is actually our third CD. So we are doing our best to bring the wonder of handbells to as many people as we can.
The wonder of handbells.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
And the group's been around since 97. How long have you been involved?
That's correct. Well, actually, I was actually in it for the very first year, and then I moved away from the area, and then I came back, and I've been involved for about 3 years now.
And you were just telling me before we started to record this conversation the various hats you wear besides mother, but you're a school music teacher?
Mm-hmm, I am, and I am also a church choir director as well.
And it was interesting to me with handbells, I usually think of handbells anyway as being involved in churches, but there's only one tune on here, well, maybe a couple that could be conceived as slightly sacred.
That's correct. Bells in Motion is nationally known for breaking out of that church mold for handbell ensembles, and we do a lot of jazz, a lot of rock, and a lot of pop, and even just straight classical pieces in our repertoire.
And they're all represented on this disc. You say nationally known. In your press release, you mention a number of tours you've had conventions you've played at.
Yes, that's correct.
How common is it for handbell groups to be doing what you guys are doing?
Well, it is, first of all, an honor to be able to play at the handbell conventions that happen. And we try to take one trip every 3 or 4 years when we can. So it's very fun to go on the road so we can share this amazing art with as many people as we can.
How would you say the conventions that you've gone to, festivals and so on, how does this group stack up compared to others you hear?
Oh, we're wonderful, of course. it's not really a competition or anything. We are just all trying to propel this art into mainstream music for many people.
Well, I'm just out of your own listening, you know, just
yes.
I'm not asking for a competitive thing. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, is this?
I don't really know, to be honest. I listen to a few other handbell groups, and each group kind of has their own different style. And they kind of do their own kind of repertoire. And it's really interesting. If people go to Google and just type in handbell choirs, you'll find web pages of many different groups around the country. And like I said, each one is unique. And it's really fun to explore those unique qualities of each group.
The a couple of the seminars and events, organizations you've mm-hmm. gone to are the AGEHR. I looked that up, American Guild of English Handbell Ringers.
Yes, yes.
What's the significance of the English part?
Well, the handbells originated in England, so as far as I know, they did. And so I'm assuming that this organization probably harkens back to that English heritage of the instrument.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that, mm-hmm. and so I guess we'll both maybe have to look up how much a tradition it is.
Yes,
elsewhere.
I think we will.
Yeah, because now I'm very curious.
Yes, me too.
What was the most recent trip you guys took, and what was the experience like?
Oh, great question. I was not with the group, but in July 2008, a couple years ago, the group did travel overseas to the United Kingdom, and they had performances in Glasgow, London, and Edinburgh. And that's the most recent big overseas trip that they have performed at. And they've also gone around the country to Georgia and Pennsylvania and Ohio. And I haven't had the opportunity to go on a tour with the group yet, but I'm looking forward to someday doing that in the next few years.
Why haven't you gone?
Well, they actually have not taken the tour since I have been an official member of the group.
Well, the nerve.
Yeah, I know.
It's about time that they that you got them going. Where would you like to go if you had?
Oh, I would love to go to Vancouver and Puerto Rico and Hawaii and things like that. You know, it's kind of as we talk within the group, those are some of the ideas of places that we would like to go, and possibly an overseas tour again to Europe. And so we always are kind of talking about it, and not quite sure when the next one will be, but we'll kind of see.
And do you go? Does the group seem to go places just that they would like to go for tourist reasons, or are there places that seem to be particularly receptive to
handbells? It's a combination of both. The touring aspect, I'm sure, is obviously an attraction, but they do like to find festivals and concert places where they can garner good audiences and enjoy that performance aspect of it as well.
Well, you mentioned that the group has made a reputation of breaking out of the sacred mold.
Yes.
But you do have one of the cuts on your new disc that you said you particularly are fond of, which
yes.
sort of combines a bit of sacred with a bit of jazz.
That is exactly right.
This jazz waltz on Praise to the Lord, that's a hymn, isn't it?
It is a hymn, and the composer has jazzed it up a little bit, giving it new syncopated rhythms and some unique handbell techniques within the piece.
And what can you talk at all about those techniques?
Sure. Some techniques that we use, that aside from just the regular ringing, are putting our thumbs on the bells and creating short, stopped sounds, or actually taking the bell and placing it into the pad on the table, and that also stops the sound as well. We also use mallets, special handbell mallets on the bells, and we also do shakes where you shake the bell back and forth really fast, and that makes the handbell performance also a visual as well as an aural performance as well.
So when you say you put your thumbs on it, I assume this is a gloved thumb?
Yes, that is correct. It is a gloved thumb,
and
to
what's
avoid
the
tarnishing the bell.
Is that what it is? I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that
why?
Is correct.
Because any handbell group that's doing things right is going to have, do you use white gloves?
We usually use black gloves for performances, but in rehearsal I have tie-dye gloves. Because I'm a tie-dye girl.
So
a couple of other members have some really fun rehearsal gloves as well.
So you can express your personality
that's
in rehearsals. But
that's correct. There are a couple of actual handbell groups who, in certain concert situations, they'll bring out fun gloves as well. But normally we just play with black.
Well, you could probably do like a black lighting effect. And
you really could, yes. In fact, some groups, there is a group called Ring of Fire. It was a youth group. I do not believe they're together anymore, but they did do one song in their concert where they turned all the lights off, they had white gloves, they had a black light, and all you could see were the gloves. And that's really neat. I have a video of that.
Well, it's time you guys stepped up and
there you go.
Picked it up from the young people, right?
There you go.
Okay, well, here's the jazz waltz on Praise to the Lord, and it's a performance by Bells in Motion on their new CD called Bronze Images, directed by Michael Lamb, and their CD release party is happening this Saturday in Springfield. We'll give you more details later. Angie Chase, my guest, here on Live and Local. Thank you. That was a tune called Jazz Waltz on Praise to the Lord, arranged by Kathy Mokelbust is her name, and the handbell group called Bells in Motion, based in Springfield. From their new disc called Bronze Images, featured flutist Teresa O'Hare in that performance. And the Bells in Motion Choir is going to host a CD premiere party this Saturday at the Hoagland Center for the Arts on South 6th Street in Springfield. It's free. It'll go from 6 to 10 with drinks and hors d'oeuvres and some live performances of selections from the CD. And no ticket is even required. You can just show up there. And if you want more information, it's bellsinmotion.org. My guest on this portion of Live and Local, who is representing the group for us today, is Angie Chase. And Angie, we first met, late 90s?
Yes,
when
that
you were,
is correct.
Are you still playing French horn?
I am still playing French horn. I play in the community band. I live in Taylorville, and I play in the community band here and enjoy that very much and look forward to someday getting back to playing in orchestras like I did when we first met. So.
Yeah. You said you live in Taylorville.
Yeah.
Where do all the folks come from who are in Bells in Motion?
Great question. Majority of us live around the area. There's some Springfield folk, and I think there's one of our members is from Girard and Gillespie, and there's a couple from St. Louis, and a couple people come from as far as Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and also up in Wisconsin. So we have an interesting rehearsal schedule. We rehearse once a month on a Saturday all day to accommodate all the out-of-town folks that come in. And that way it's not just, you know, once a week rehearsal, you know, like a lot of, you know, groups do. And so it's a very unique situation where we do bring in people from all around the Midwest. It's really neat.
Well, I saw that line in your bio here, and I wondered how literally it was true, and apparently so.
Yes.
Who provides the food? You get to cook?
Oh, one of our members is amazing. She always arranges for lunch for us, and then we just bring some money to chip in and pay her back. And we have a very nice lunch right in the middle of rehearsal, right in the church where we practice. And it makes for a really nice day of ringing and music and fellowship.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it's a professional group, so this is you're paid for your gigs, or you pay yourselves for your gigs,
yes,
or how
that
does that
correct.
Work? And I mentioned a flute soloist,
yep,
with in that particular cut, and you often have a rhythm section that
we
works
do.
With
we
you.
Also we usually have a drum set and a bass as well. Occasionally, a bell piece will call for a keyboard, a piano, or an organ, or even a synthesizer. Some pieces actually call specifically for a synthesizer. So we do employ a lot of other instruments within our performances.
So this disc represents quite a number of ringers, although the group is 16 at a time?
Yes, that's correct.
In pretty much all songs?
Most of the songs, actually almost all the songs, do use all 14, 15, 16 ringers. The only differences maybe be in the lower part of the range. Some of the songs may not call for the really, really, really super big ones. But we do try to employ as many ringers as we can at one time.
And each ringer plays, what, two or four bells or
usually
something?
Usually most ringers are responsible for two letter names of bells. And the folks that play down in the bass usually have a minimum of three letter names. They don't play as often as the upper bells do. But occasionally one person will be in charge of a whole octave of the lower bells.
Really?
Yes, including the accidentals as well. And it really is a sight to see that big table with the big aluminum bells played by just one person. It's amazing.
So the lower ones are aluminum and the bigger ones or the smaller ones are bronze?
Are bronze, that's correct. From about, probably the second to lowest octave on a piano. I'm not quite sure how it matches up on a piano. But those are made of aluminum simply to be a little bit lighter, a lot lighter actually, to pick up. Our lowest bronze bell goes to down to what's called C3. And then we have the octave down below that on the aluminums.
Otherwise, ringers would have to lift weights in order
to
be prepared.
That's right. That's right. And I can lift the C3, and I can also lift the aluminum, so I've built up my endurance as well.
Yeah, well, you need to not only be able to lift them, but also thrust them forward to actually make sound.
Exactly.
Because there's a special technique to that.
Yep.
You guys, I looked at your website. You have, I only saw a couple of events scheduled on there. You have a workshop coming up on the 25th of this month?
That's correct. We have a workshop for area handbell choirs to come and learn techniques and explore new music. And that's going to be held at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in, St. John's Lutheran Church, in Springfield on the 25th of September. And then we have our series of Christmas concerts coming up the very first weekend of December.
And
all these dates can be explored on bellsinmotion.org.
Yeah, and you'll have your spring dates up there at some point, I imagine?
I believe we will, yes. Those are still in the works, but we will get those up as soon as we can.
So especially if you're interested in taking your group or I guess individuals can go to the workshop?
I believe so, yes, they can. And they can visit the website for contact information to ask about that. Yep.
Okay, Angie, it's great to talk to you.
You too.
And it's a new CD from Bells in Motion. Their premiere party is this Saturday, September 11th, in the club room of the Hoagland Center for the Arts. 420 South 6th Street is the address in Springfield. It starts at 6, goes till 10. Admission is free, no tickets required. You can enjoy some food and drink and hear some live performances by the group. And let's see, we're going to go out with something else, sort of rocky, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
Rock Around the Clock. People will know this tune. Thanks, Angie.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Rock Around the Clock by Max Freeman and Jimmy DeKnight, arranged by John Edmondson, and played by Bells in Motion Handbell Ensemble from their new disc called Bronze Images. Michael Lamb, the director. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our programs today are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal and Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com. And we have support for today's show from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 3377704 or at thecorkscrew.com. On tomorrow's show, Rudolf Hocken, violist and violinist and composer, is going to be here. He's given a recital on the University of Illinois campus Sunday evening, so he'll be on tomorrow's show and working out the rest of the schedule as well for tomorrow. And on Sunday evening, at the Iron Post in Urbana, a terrific group is going to be in town called the Hot Club of Detroit. And I recommend them very, very highly. I've heard a couple of their CDs, and I'm looking at their newest one, and I'll play just a fragment from it in just a moment. But that's Sunday night at, I think they start at 7 o'clock, Iron Post in Urbana. The forecast for today, sunny, high around 75. For tonight, mostly clear, low near 48. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high around 78. And Friday's outlook calls for a mostly cloudy sky and a chance of showers, high around 75. We're at 74 right now. It's about 12:59. Coming up at 101, it's the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor, classical music at 106. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. Thanks for listening. It's the Hot Club of Detroit, a tune called Duke and Dookie.